Time now, Dr. Gail, the Ask Dr. Gail segment. We do this every Friday at this time, every Friday at 1:20 Eastern Time, and we take your questions. You can email us music@mail.ivillage.com. Dr. Gail is a family therapist on ivillage.com on Parents Place. You can go to parentsplace.com/expert/family Gail. How are you doing?
Great.
Well, good. Well, it's always nice to hear from you, and always nice to get more questions and more information about, you know, if the parenting thing it's not an exact science.
No, it's not. It's part art and part maybe.
Indeed
some
it is.
Theory and science.
it's somewhere, it's a little more science than when I used to listen to Roseanne Barr's comedy show when she used to say, you know, if her husband came home at the end of the day and the kids were still alive, she figured she'd done her job.
Definitely we want to raise the bar on that.
Yeah, we want to raise the bar on that. Okay. Well, let's just get right to our first question. Lose weight or else? Here's a question that comes from listener Sally. Dear Dr. Gail, my husband and I are having problems. I'm 35 and the mother of three kids. I'm on estrogen, high blood pressure medication, and I'm 35 pounds overweight. I work out 5 days a week, 40 minutes at a time. I'm now doing 2 workouts per day. I watch what I eat, but nothing seems to be working. My husband said he will leave me if I don't lose the extra weight. Ow.
Uh-oh. Now, this sounds like it's the marriage that's in trouble.
Yeah.
At least, you know, at least there's marriage problems here, not just weight problems. After all, Sally, you've had 3 kids together. You share a life together. Why in the world would your appearance threaten your relationship? It can be a minor problem, but why is it a major problem?
Right.
You know, you really need to look at if you are losing weight for this man to hang on to him, you know, maybe you should think about that. Maybe you should think again, you know. Seriously, what will keep him around when a few more wrinkles appear? Do you really want to grow old with a man like this?
Yeah.
You know, those are sort of the initial things we look at. It just doesn't make any sense. But then looking deeper, you know, where is her, Sally, where is your self-esteem here? You know, I would really advise that you want to do some counseling instead of a second workout. You really want to do some counseling to deal with the emotional issues that must be hiding in this body image thing, don't you think, Lydia?
Well, I think so also. In my experience, weight is such a complex thing. I mean, our bodies are such slow learners. You know, I think our bodies learn at a glacier pace in terms of, you know, when we hold. But I know that so often weight is tied up, at least for me personally and for other women that I've known, in what's going on with me. I know that when I tend to start hanging on to weight, of course, things have changed since I've had one child, and it is harder to be as slim as I was before I had a child. But also, I know I get larger when I'm holding on, when I need extra protection, when I'm holding on, the weight sting, and it doesn't matter how much I eat or how much I don't eat. If if I need that extra protection, I hang on to it.
Well, that's interesting. You've identified some of that in yourself, you know, and we really want to look at, you know, for Sally here, it sounds like this quest for love or acceptance must be at the heart of her problem. And, you know, eating disorders, the core of, you know, eating disorders is usually looking for love and acceptance in the wrong places without dealing with the feelings that are coming up. You know, the feelings, if I'm angry at my husband, but I don't think I have a right to say anything, I feel guilty, but I think the reason I'm not being loved is because I'm not good enough.
Right.
You know, so I feel ashamed. I go to the refrigerator, right? I go to the refrigerator and I eat and I feel bad, but it sort of gets me away from the feelings. Or, and this is the other option, I overexercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I go and I short circuit these whole horrible feelings with the quest for the perfect body. Well, surely then I am going to be loved.
Right.
No. You know, we know both of these are dead ends.
Mm-hmm.
You won't feel loved if you're thin or adored for your body image. Look at Marilyn Monroe.
Indeed. Look at Marilyn Monroe, who, and she was from a size 2 to a size 12, depending on the different times in her life.
Yeah, and definitely eating disorders involved there. But having to do with self-image, all of these feelings hiding, you know, hiding in the body image, if I just get a perfect body. And this is, you know, I mean, as you well know, Lydia, is endemic to our culture. Women are under this kind of pressure. Our young girls are under this kind of pressure.
And now even our young boys are under this kind of pressure.
And even our young boys are under this pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
And I still, I mean, I do know also it is a cultural thing in terms of not respecting motherhood in that way. I can't tell you how many married men who have talked to me about this kind of issue saying, oh, well, My wife let herself go after we had kids, and I would always give them a hard time saying, you know, what are you doing? Okay, are you helping her out?
Right.
You know, are you supporting this woman? You know, is she doing everything, working a full-time job and, you know, watching the kids? And you know, are you offering any support? And also, I mean, I remember one time I think we've talked about this in the show before, I was thinking about, I was complaining about not being quite as thin as before. I had a child to a friend of mine who's Puerto Rican. And she goes, what are you talking about? In my country, you're supposed to look bigger after you have a child. That's a stamp of pride.
It's
pride. You look like you've had a mother.
Yeah, you're supposed to look as if nothing happened.
Yeah, and I,
right.
You know, and it's not particular. Actually, I tried on a dress this morning. I'm going to a wedding in the future, and I tried on a dress, and I knew there was no way in the world. It was a before baby dress. I knew there was no way I could get into it. And one of the things I discovered, it's just my rib cage is too big.
Oh, interesting. Changes in your body from
bearing
a child.
Yeah, I mean, my rib cage, basically, it's not the rest of me. It's my ribs are a different size than they used to be. I mean, there are things besides just your body changes in such magical ways.
Right, right. And so the bottom line is we really need to say, you know, what's a healthy relationship to your body that's
right.
Based on love and acceptance.
Yeah.
And not a hateful, rejecting one.
Yeah, because...
You know, if I don't lose weight, my husband will leave me. What kind of a relationship to your body do you have?
Oh. You know, I want to just go find him and talk to him personally, but that's my own thing. I also would encourage Sally to check out the Shape Up Challenge on the Diet and Fitness Channel on iVillage. I know one of the main things about that program is... Johnny Bowden suggests that you keep a journal about how you feel.
Exactly.
You know, it's all about, you know, changing your relationship to yourself. It's not, losing weight is not the most important thing in that challenge that happens on iVillage, and it's going on right now, is, you know, what's my relationship with food, and how does food make me feel, and what do other things make me feel?
So. And what are my feelings triggering? What can
right.
I do with these feelings? Also, you know, I would say just a couple more things that Sally really needs to look at, is she happy in the marriage?
Right.
You know, is she feel like she's being loved? If not, what's missing? And also, where else does she get her self-esteem from outside of the marriage? Are there other activities, other goals, other accomplishments in her life outside of the marriage that gives her something to stand on? Or is she overly dependent upon this man, her husband, who says, I will love you if?
Mm-hmm. Oh, preach on. Preach on, Dr. Gale. Because if you're a mom, you know, if you're getting all your self-esteem from your children, it's a setup.
Yes, it is a setup. They can't hold all of that. They'll throw it on the floor, and then you'll feel terrible. And
yeah, because then it's tempting to get that.
Yes, it is.
It's tempting to get that. Particularly.
But husbands really should be supporting
yeah.
their wives, not
mm-hmm.
undermining them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Indeed, they should be. Well, Sal, anything else?
No, I think that's about it.
That's such a juicy one. We could go for hours and hours because I think that's such a something that happens so much in our culture, and it people don't talk about it the way they should.
Right.
You know, I don't think we talk about it. So thanks, Sally, for that wonderful question. And we'll move on to our other one. This topic, should I become a single parent by choice? Sherry sends this in. Dear Dr. Gale, I'm 33 years old, single, and in the initial phase of becoming pregnant through donor insemination. Many people seem to be of the opinion that a single parent cannot successfully raise a happy, healthy, well-adjusted child. I agree that a two-parent family is the preferred method. However, sometimes it's not an option. I have a stable job, a home, and family friends who support me. As a therapist, do you believe in successful single parenting?
Absolutely. Absolutely. A single-parent families fare as well as two-parent families, you know, in the statistics, in the research. And two-parent families are no guarantee that you're raising a healthy, well-adjusted child, as we well know.
Right.
Most of the, you know, really scary stories about children who have acted out in schools with guns are from two-parent homes.
Yeah.
This is not single-parent home. These are not single-parenting
families. Wow, that's a great point. I've never heard anybody say that.
So we really need to look at the statistics and not just our myths in
uh-huh.
the society. And the key to evaluating, you know, whether you should have a child really is whether you're ready. You know, a child will change your life. Now Sherry, who sent in this question, she sounds like she's looking ahead and she's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's asking herself if she's ready. Does she have a stable job, a home, family, and friends who support her? I mean, how many people have children and don't have all of these things, or maybe, you know, even a very, very solid support system.
Right.
So she's already looking to establishing a solid support system, and this is key whether you're single or not.
Right.
And good parenting, you know, really we're looking at a balance of love and discipline, and two-parent families do not guarantee a balance between love and discipline. You'll have parents arguing between each other, canceling, you know, out the consequences or whatever. You know, these can be very tumultuous environments.
Right.
You know, it's not a panacea to have two parents.
You know, I want to ask you, okay, this is a related question, and I have been seeing glaring headlines, either in Newsweek or Time recently, about basically the premise of the article was new surveys say that parents should stay together for the sake of the children because it messes the children up. Divorce messes the children up so much that parents should always, always stay together no matter what.
Yes, and this study is based on an ongoing study by Judith Wallerstein on divorce, which has been faulted from the beginning by family researchers over and over and over again. She interviews the same people from Marin County who are growing up in families that don't necessarily have good parenting skills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is what all the critics say, but she takes this information over and over again, interviews these people 5 years later, 10 years later, and calls it new research. This is not new research. This is old research, and it's bad research. And that's been proven over and over again. And the latest, you know, really grounded research by Hetherington and her associates definitely says that the worst situation for children occurs when parents are embroiled in conflict, do not resolve it, and the child suffers from that. They really can't live in a war zone,
mm-hmm.
you know, without it really, really being detrimental to them. And I see that in my practice. I have people coming in, you know, they were in intact families, and they don't know why they're having so much trouble in their marriages, their relationships, their self-esteem. You look at the situation, and it turns out that the models they had for relating were awful in their
mm-hmm.
families, and they felt horrible about living in their families because of the war zone. So this just isn't true. It's not completely new research. It's a continuing longitudinal study that's been criticized many times and for very good reasons.
Yeah.
Now, we do not want to take divorce lightly, you see, and I think, you know, Judith Wallerstein's history is that she moved from the Midwest when she was, you know, in her early adulthood with children, and she was alarmed by, you know, the divorce rate on the West Coast. Now, this is understandable. So she became very upset about it. She felt that it was being undervalued and that marriage was being undervalued. And I think she was right that, you know, her intent stemmed from a good place in the beginning because I think divorce was seen too lightly 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, and so people were jumping on the bandwagon. Oh, children are resilient. You know, it doesn't matter what you do with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, she went, oh, no, this, you know, this has to stop. And she went off on this longitudinal study. You know, which, you know, the intent of it was good, but here we are 20, 30 years later, and we're on balance the other way. And this happens over and over again. It's very, very frustrating to us clinical people
mm-hmm.
who are in private practice seeing that both of these things are wrong. It's the middle ground. You know, you
right.
need to work on your marriage. You need to be able to try to work things out because that's what life is about, and change can happen. But if you're in a relationship that is very, very toxic, and you stay in that relationship only for the children, that has been seen to not be a good idea. Now, that's a hard call, perhaps, but mm-hmm. that is the call you have to make.
Right, right. Thank you so much. I'm just saying,
that one I feel very strongly about.
I'm glad. Preach on, Dr. Gale, because I see those. You know, you see those headlines, and it just, you know, if you're a single parent,
oh, of
it
course.
Can just tear you up. You know,
right.
you don't even know what it is, but you see that glaring at you, and you're like, oh, God.
Right, and it's the same thing as, you know, single parenting causes problems in children.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what it is? It's parenting. Parenting is what makes the difference. And I have a lot more to say about this in the future because I'm going to actually do one of my questions from the site, which is divorce always damaging to children?
Right.
So we can look forward to talking more about it.
Oh, I look forward to that. That is so important in so many people's lives.
Yes.
You know, no matter what kind of family you live in. Thank you so much. As
You're
always,
so welcome.
Wonderful advice that we need. Dr. Gail Peterson, you can find her on parentsplace.com/expert/family, and there are links to your boards, Birthing Normally and Easier Childbirth and Making Healthy Families. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Lydia.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.